This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. President Obama and former Governor Mitt Romney have embarked on a final two-week push to Election Day. This after their third and final debate last night.
And if debate number one gave Big Bird a starring role and debate number two gave us binders full of women, last night's debate launched a new theme into the Twitter sphere, horses and bayonets.
I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed.
So that quotation from President Obama about horses and bayonets prompted viewers to fire off an astounding 105,000 tweets per minute, which contributed to some 6.5 million total debate tweets last night. Impressive, but nothing compared to the first debate with 10.3 million tweets.
It's the new way to watch, apparently. TV in front of us, Twitter or Facebook, or both on our laps. But how is all of this changing the way we process our politics? Joining us now from Los Angeles is Mark Hanna. He's a political correspondent for PBS's Media Shift blog and a PhD candidate at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication, where he investigates the impact of emerging media on political knowledge and opinion. Mark, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
So I watched the last two debates while monitoring Twitter, and it really is fascinating. Instant reaction, instant fact-checking, instant snarky humor. But how do you think it's affecting the political discourse?
Yeah, I don't think you'll be surprised to know that my impression of the impact on democratic discourse, political discourse, is that this is, on one hand, engaging people in ways that it hasn't been before. This is indeed a participatory medium, and so people who maybe weren't involved in the political process or as interested in it might find a new route to find it entertaining, amusing. People like me, who are political junkies or commentators and things like that, also have a new dimension to our commentating and our observation of the political process. But what I think is happening here is a diversion from or a distraction from the main issues that are surfacing and emerging in these debates. With the new emphasis on instant and instantaneous communication, we've been privileging things that are fast, that are viral, that are humorous, that are provocative, and in a sense, the importance of context or reflective thought is diminishing, and the way we used to sort of absorb political debates and watch debates and discuss it with our friends over, minutes, hours, days, is that process is being dramatically accelerated. And I think that the impact isn't all positive.
It's interesting that you say that, because I had an interesting experience last night when Mr. Obama and Governor Romney were disagreeing about exactly what Romney said and wrote about letting Detroit go bankrupt. As I was watching, I quickly did what a lot of my fellow journalists and just normal viewers could do. That I called up the New York Times piece that Romney published about it, and I think, by the way, it pretty well supported President Obama's point. And then when I returned to Twitter, scores of viewers had already posted the New York Times piece, had already tweeted that New York Times piece. So instant fact-checking, but it occurred to me that in the meantime, we all miss what was being said during the actual debate in our sort of rush to kind of, fact-check in the moment.
Absolutely. No, there's no doubt about it. The internet is proving to be a revolutionary medium when it comes to enabling transparency. So you do have these fact checkers doing work in real time that has never really been attainable before. But you also have, and my experience of watching these debates, I was watching Twitter as you were, but I was also getting press releases from each of the campaigns. I know the second debate, Mitt Romney's campaign shot out 13 press releases, and the Obama campaign, 29 in the course of just that hour and a half. So to keep up with all that information, and then you have the fact checkers. So PolitiFact, for example, had a Twitter feed, and they over 50 times in the course of 90 minutes, they check the veracity of the candidates' claims. And so when you have all this information, we're definitely at a point where, there is no information scarcity anymore. The problem is that of information overload. And to the extent we're living in an information marketplace, there's definitely a glut on the market. And in a way, that cheapens the value of that information through a sort of inflationary process. And the ability to to pick out what's important and what's not sort of falls by the wayside.
I was also struck by the sort of distractions that were inherent in this process, some of them very amusing. Some people could be really funny during these debates. Again, you're not getting particularly well informed. I was also struck by, and I was just talking about this with Meghna, suddenly someone will tweet, hey, does anyone know what the score of the baseball game is? And it's like, turn the channel, man.
Well, unless you're friends with a lot of baseball fans, in which case every time somebody mentions the political debate, that's seen as a distraction from them following the baseball game on Twitter. So it depends on your perspective, I suppose.
Yeah. And I guess finally, I mean, if I would leave with sort of one positive idea, it does seem to sort of democratize in a way the discourse. I mean, we've had for a long time this punditocracy sort of up on top of the sort of hierarchy of political commentators. Does this sort of reduce the value of that in a way?
You know, I think almost alternatively, it does the opposite. The people who have had the ability to give context to or perspective on that information when we have so much information in that marketplace, that becomes almost even more important. It is a democratic medium. Everybody has a say. Anybody can contribute anything. But also in that sort of undifferentiated focus group kind of nature, there is a little bit of a mob dynamics that occur. And so the information itself, the memes, as we call them, take on a life of their own and have a certain virality of their own, almost independent of the people passing them around. People, you know, want to show that they're in the know, that they possess this currency, and so they'll begin to spread around memes in a way that is more reflexive and more automatic. And so I do think that it's important for people to, like public radio hosts, to be able to provide this perspective, and like academics, if I might mm-hmm. add, to provide this perspective amid the cacophony of media messages that are tweeting by.
Still need our editors. Mark Hanna, political correspondent for PBS's Media Shift blog. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony, and thank you, Meghna.